Welcome back, guys, to episode number 63 of the Sweet Science Podcast with your boy, Fat Mouse. Got a bit of hay fever today, so forgive me. But who else we got in here today?
I'm Cash with the K. Let's
see. Lovely stuff. I'm going to be sniffling and
sniffling
all episode. But bear with, man. Guys, I mean, this is usually a sign of the weather picking up, me getting hay fever. Because it means the sun's out. But the sun is out, but the rain is out, and it's still cold. Like, this weather is just insane. I just don't get it. I see why Colby hates this place. Colby Covington hates this place.
It's true.
Weather was trash. And it's true, man.
And that's why I know AJ hates it now as well. I can't wait to get back to Texas. Everyone knows
the UK's dead.
Yeah.
See that?
Jokes. Oh, we're in April now, and it feels like we're in December.
It's chapping. It's too cold, bro.
Like, last night was freezing. Freezing. I don't understand.
I don't get it, man.
But then the sun's out, but
I'm getting the worst of both. I'm cold and I've got mad hay fever, which is at least when the sun's out and I'm warm. Do you get it?
It's deceiving, man. It's a deception.
Mazza.
This weather's a catfish.
It's a catfish.
Because you see the sun out, you're nice and warm indoors, you step outside and it's
chapping,
like,
chapping.
Well, absolutely. What happened? Why does this happen to me? But it is what it is.
For real, but I can't wait to move to the flipping Philippines or something.
No.
Let's go.
Serengeti Province.
There you go.
Man, you're double trying to pack you. Done.
Anyway, here we are, guys.
That's where he's from.
I know. Here we are.
Here we are.
This weekend was the return of Anthony Joshua. Everybody was saying this. 3 losses in the last 5 fights. 2 back-to-back losses. And he had to come back and he had to prove something. And they chose to put him in against Jermaine Franklin. 2 losses against Usyk back to back. Those ones there, they're understandable. I'm not going to lie to you, they're understandable. Usyk isn't a game. He's not a joke, man. You know what I mean? He's a very, very serious competitor. But no doubt did it mess up his mental. You know, we had a breakdown, didn't he? He had a breakdown after the second fight. He threw the belts out of the ring and said, Bismillah.
Bismillah.
The whole thing was just odd. But we put that behind us. He should put that behind him because it's done. He is a human being and he just had a moment where he broke down and he just didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what was going on. Cool. Comeback fight. 1st of April, 2023. In the O2 Arena, far smaller, you know, stomping ground than he's used to, if that even makes sense. It's his old yard, isn't it? He hasn't been here for how many years?
Can't remember now.
About 6 years.
It's a long time.
He hasn't fought there for about 6 years.
Since he's fought there.
It is about easily a 50% drop at least in what he's used to seeing in terms of attendance. Yeah?
More than that.
No, that's what I'm saying. At least a 50%. As in what I'm saying is oh, much more than that, really, because they keep saying 20,000. It's not 20,000.
Just say 20, though, for example.
It's not 20, though.
But just say it is. Wembley's 80.
I was going to say 16. Yeah, Wembley's, he did 90, innit? About 89.
80, 90, yeah. He does Cardiff, same thing. I don't know how many Cardiff
is.
So
it's a massive, it's about a quarter of what he's used to seeing, then. Let's say that, yeah? But no doubt, or regardless, they were there for him. The audience, the crowd came out for him, showed up. Sold out a little bit slower than Eddie Hearn would have liked, and AJ would have liked, but it sold out. And the atmosphere was quite sick. It was decent. He had a lot to prove. He had a heck of a lot to prove in this fight. Mm-hmm. And I kept commenting. I was like it was annoying me when they keep saying, oh, he's admitted himself. This is his, he's going to retire if he loses. He never said that once. He just didn't disagree with what people said in the sense that, do you reckon you should? He goes, yeah, definitely. Very dismissively saying, yeah, definitely. I'll retire. He never said that. Then also in several interviews later, he said, I'm just saying what you lot want to hear. I don't mean it. I've retired on my terms. If I want to come back, it's on my terms. If I want to stop, it's on my terms.
You know when you're so fed up of hearing the same nonsense constantly? Like, for example, when me and you go back and forth,
yeah,
just to dead it off, would you be like, yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's just, that's just very normal.
You want
it's so done. Jarring, I'm not going to
lie. Yeah, but that's, right. But that's what it
is. It's true, it's dismissive. It's literally the whole, all right, cool.
Like, he's been hearing it for so long,
yeah.
Then he gets to the scrum, and that's all he's hearing. Retirement fight, retirement fight. If you lose, you're retiring. All right, yeah. I'm, all right, yeah.
Cool, yeah, yeah.
You know what? If I even if you know, I might retire tomorrow.
Yeah,
I might not even get to the fight. I might just retire.
That would be mad.
You should have said that. Just to like, oh my god, everyone's, and it's just the people that know it understand that he's not going to retire, but it's just clickbait. It's just views. It's just creates a headline. If you really understand boxing, you know this guy. You know he's not going to retire. Even if he did lose, people say he should, but he wouldn't have retired.
He wouldn't have retired.
No way. Silly. Just silly. It's just annoying. You hear that narrative, and the whole DAZN build up to it was just that same thing. And we get it, innit? You've got to create some sort of atmosphere. You've got to make it more interesting. Because if AJ loses, he retires.
That's it for him, yeah.
He's not going to.
That's the thing.
He never was going to.
Jermaine Franklin, his only loss was a controversial one. It was the fight before this, and it was to Dillian White. They went the distance, and a lot of people said that actually he got robbed, which is quite a fair thing to say, right? But this is all the backstory. We all know this, but I'm just giving a little bit of backstory because, you know, this is what led to the performance that we saw. AJ come in now in his fight against Jermaine Franklin. First few rounds were, they were annoying. They were annoying. He's very tentative, extremely. The first few rounds, again, you kept saying, well, it's the first few rounds. Let him just build up to it. Those first few rounds then built up to like maybe 9 of them. But they were very, very slow. He definitely dominant with his jab. Definitely worked on his jab. But there wasn't much after that, you know? There wasn't much to follow up after, other than a good jab, you know? Occasional right. Some combos, but really and truly, the combos, not even some combos, the combos were non-existent for a while. Okay? He did what he had to do in the end, and he won. He won the fight, actually convincingly. And if you juxtapose that to the fight with Dillian White, he's levels above Dillian White because he beat the same guy, but he beat him convincingly. So for then Dillian White to say, nah, man, I'll have it offered him or whatever. Does that make sense? I've offered him, or does that mean he's going to lose him?
No. Just say pause.
All right, pause. Regardless. I'll have it offered him, pause. but yeah. But he goes, you know, I could definitely have him on now. Pause. I could definitely take... Pause. But anyway, Dillian White saying basically, based on that performance, he's all mine. Okay.
Basically, Dillian White said after that. Basically, Dillian was trying to say, "I can have him."
Yeah.
Pause. That sounds right. I can take him on. I can.
But light,
I can
work. It's light work for him.
I can work. Pause. Bad. I can batter him.
There you go.
I can have him. I can take him on. I feel like there's a way to say it, which I can't remember.
He's light work for man. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
but there's an actual way to say it. Like, you know when...
I think
I can take him on.
Yeah.
He fancies him.
So he saw that performance. It's mad because for him to say that, it's a bit strange. But again, the performance itself was very lackluster. I hate these buzzwords.
But
it was lackluster.
The reason I get it though is because we're so used to seeing AJ in a certain fashion, so dominant,
yep,
that when you do see a few chinks in the armor, you do see them in their shell, it gives you that confidence. Whether it's false confidence or not, you're like, bro, I can take him on easy. This isn't the AJ that I knew, because Dillian fought a different AJ.
Yeah, no doubt.
So he's probably looking at it from a different angle from all of us, because he's fought him. He's been in there twice with him, once in amateurs, once in the professional ranks. He's saying to himself, I've seen this guy. He likes to scrap. That scrap is not there anymore.
He
I feel like some people look at it and think he overthinks it too much since that Andy Ruiz defeat. Because he is in there a lot and he's waiting. And
he's waiting a lot.
And
he's extremely gun-shy. His mind has been affected. Yeah? His mind has been affected by his losses. And he's just very, very, like, he's not on pulling the trigger. He can't pull the trigger. It's like there's a mental block. stopping him from going all out. But I understand, yeah, you know, he needs to build up to it and gain confidence. And this Jermaine Franklin is an extremely, just because he's not a very well-known name at all, does not mean he's not a good fighter. He's actually very good. Very good. For the height difference as well, the amount of times he managed to get in and well, I want to say hurt. Not hurt, but hurt. AJ, do you get it? Not like staggering me. He wasn't staggering him, but he was hurting him.
He was stinging him. He was stinging him.
That's a better word. Yeah? He was catching him with meaningful shots. Like, he's quite slick, you know?
He's very good.
And he can take licks.
Yeah, he's got a good chin on him.
He's got a chin.
Yeah.
He's got a chin.
Not once did I see him in that fight hurt. Stung. He was stung.
He was stung.
But not once did I ever see him buckling around or like his legs went, his knees, but nothing. I didn't see it at all. I didn't see him doing the chicken dance. None of it.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, he took those and he laughed off.
But again, I think it's really difficult when you fight small heavyweights. They're very compact. In general, the longer heavyweights, the taller heavyweights have skinnier legs. I'm not saying it's easy to knock out guys with skinny legs. I'm just saying the shorter guys, the 6'2", 6'3" heavyweights, stockier, smaller, chunkier legs, they're just their base, their foundation is there.
Yes, so it's hard. Slower center of gravity.
Yeah, it's just hard to get them out in general. Yeah. So, but you got to give him credit because he took some good right hands, some solid uppercuts. But yeah, Jermaine Franklin, I was saying it to Miles as well, and I was saying it to quite a few people. Like, again, we're in this silly era or generation of fans and people who watch fights, whether you're a fan or you're not, you're a casual, where we look at someone's physique, we look at someone's demeanor, because he's a quiet guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't talk smack. He's not out there. He's not outgoing. Yeah, he just does his business.
Yeah.
But we look at those things and we think to ourselves, oh, AJ's an Adonis. You know, big muscle man, powerhouse. And I get it. I get it. I completely understand it. When you've never watched a sport or you don't understand the sport, it makes sense. Have you seen those memes and pictures of Justin Gaethje with glasses?
Yeah, of course.
And they see a bit.
Yeah.
This guy would batter that guy. Kill him, bro. But it's the same thing. So I understand it. But, you know, our example was there and shown in Madison Square Garden when Andy Ruiz dismantled AJ in that first fight.
Yeah.
Haven't we not learned from that?
It's not just that, but we're quick to forget.
But we shouldn't be, though. That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't be.
It's mad.
You know, because we're quick to forget how good AJ was and what he's done for the sport.
Yeah.
So when he does take a tough fight in his comeback fight, he's meant to walk through him. I never said this wasn't a great choice.
No. This was a tough fight. So in terms of for him to get even, through adversity, this was a good one.
100%.
But to get a name for himself and to come back in like a, to make a statement, this wasn't a guarantee. They could have fed him someone with a bigger name. They should have done a Dillian White fight, to be honest, I think. To come back to.
Nah.
That would have been better because he more likely would have won that, but it would have been...
To be honest, in hindsight, I think this was better.
Why?
The reason I say that is... So anyway, we didn't even touch on the result.
Oh, yeah.
So Anthony Joshua defeated Jermaine Franklin by unanimous decision. 117-111 on two of the judges' cards and then 118-111 on the other.
No, 116.
No, 118.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 118-111. Dominant. Dominant.
Yeah, it was dominant.
Dominant.
It was dominant.
He controlled it from the outset. He was just pumping out the jab. There was few moments of, you know, sort of when Jermaine was throwing his little combinations and AJ sort of like didn't know what to do, kind of stepping back, but in a weird fashion. But in general, it was a controlled, measured performance. Solid, but not fantastic.
Not fantastic at all. I don't even like the word solid. Solid in the sense that he was consistently winning. There was never a threat of losing, really.
But that is solid.
Hold your horses, mate.
Sorry.
But there were no moments of like brilliance. He was consistently nervous.
Until the later rounds.
Coming back, you know, going backwards, he was, his defense, I don't know, man. Eddie Hearn said his defense was good. I can't agree, man. He didn't get hit. He didn't get touched that much, but his defense looked like a panic. Looked like, you know, when you do that to someone, like a little kid, and they just do that to flinch.
Jake Paul, Tommy, and
yeah. It looked like he's not programmed to deal with it. He was actually shook of getting hit.
Can I say something though? And this is what I thought about last night after the fight, and then this morning when I was watching Eddie's interview, I was thinking about it as well. AJ's always been like that. The only reason we notice it more now is because we're more worried about him getting hit and him being more beatable.
He's always been like that. I know, but what he did have was he countered that with come forward, pressure, and just bludgeon you.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He didn't have either.
But then we can't sort of like...
Not saying he's gone downhill. I'm just pointing that out.
No, I get it. I'm not saying you're pointing downhill. I'm just saying, like, in general, though, he's always been like that. When someone comes forward to him, I don't think he fully grasps on. Maybe he does, and it's just his way of moving. Everyone moves different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we're used to seeing Tyson Fury do it in a certain fashion.
I just think there's...
You know, when AJ does it, it's a bit different.
It's not tidy. He looked panicky. Like,
this is what I think. Yeah. I think his is neat and tidy. I think when he does it, he looks tight and compact. He looks tight and compact when he moves. That's what I think. I think he looks tidy. I don't think he's as fluid.
Okay. Again, I'm
because he's solid. I feel like he's solid. I feel like when he has his hands up, he's solid. When he's throwing, he's solid.
Having your hands up is when he moves that's back, minor. He's solid.
I don't see him like moving back flimsy. It's just not as like what we're used to. That, like, you know, someone who's that Mexican Cuban.
That's what I'm saying. He's not moving. His head movement was a joke. I have to say, like, he was. I think I only saw at one point one round. His head was just doing this. That's not head movement, bruv, at all. You get me? That's like literal head movement. You get me? But like, he wasn't moving how he should be moving. Again, he's never been, and he maintains this. So this is not taking anything away from him. He is not an amazing boxer by any measure. And he says this himself, and he knows it. He's learning on the job, and he's 2-3 losses. I don't want to say even if he lost this fight, because that's a bit much, but 2 losses back to back, 3 out of your 5, it's not a problem. It isn't a problem. It's about coming back and claiming back what you had. But if you can't do that, then you never had it and you just got quite lucky. And again, it's fine. It's fine. Like, if he's not going to claim heavyweight champ again, cool. How old is he? He's 33. You can't blame Father Time, actually. I was going to say maybe we could do that. But you can't really. Not at 33, you can't. Not at 33, no. And his flaws are just being a little bit more exposed now because he's less reluctant to just pam you early on. All his flaws are becoming a little bit more exposed. And I can't say he showed improvements, but he showed that there is potential.
Of course.
Because he stripped everything back. He stripped everything back in this fight and kept it super basic. Just want to get the win. Let me just, you know, not just get back in the win column, but let me just do the 12 rounds. He did the 12 rounds without getting tired, but he was very reserved. He was very reserved. Do you get it? His energy was not being used.
But look at that though. Look at that. Like, you know, he was very reserved and he'd never really went out there to look for the stoppage. And he still won very comfortably. So imagine when he does eventually build his confidence back up, gets a few more camps under Derek James, we will definitely see a different and more improved fighter.
I want to. We will.
I just, like, when I was at the, when I went to the press conference and everyone was saying, everyone I spoke to was saying in 6, in 4, in 8, earlier, I'm thinking, I don't want to be disrespectful, but in my head I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You lot are experts. You lot are in this sport every day. You're around fighters.
It's mad, yeah.
You know, and I'm hearing them say 6 and 8 and 4. Someone said 1. I heard some guy say 1. I was like, what do you watch? Where in what planet?
So, and again, it's like they say, if that was with somebody, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, blood. Like, this guy, not Derek James, Jermaine Franklin, has shown his chin. How dare you say get in 1 or even 3 or 5? Do you get it? Come on, man. Like, the guy doesn't hit the deck. So you're going to have to... That's why AJ's actually round 10 was quite accurate. It was all more realistic. Sorry, not accurate. More realistic. Tie him out. Break him down. And he almost did get him out in, I think, in the 12th, to be fair.
But to be honest, is that the later rounds is when AJ started to really just take hold. Like, Jermaine had nothing left.
Jermaine had... That's when Jermaine just started being frantically holding on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know why they do that. You know, yeah, they do that when they're tired and they're afraid that they could be taken out. Yeah. You've got to hold on.
He definitely knew.
So, like, this whole stigma behind AJ being finished or being washed now. Listen, no one's the same fighter they were in their prime or 5 years ago. You know what I mean? And some people dramatically fall off.
Yeah,
we've seen it many times in the sport. Where someone looks invincible, unstoppable, and then within a year they've lost three back-to-back fights and they're finished.
Yeah.
But you know, the difference between, you know, something like boxing and the sport of MMA now is, if you take that L, the fans ain't gonna hold you to it. Two L's, the fans ain't gonna hold you to it. You can come back and win your next fight in spectacular fashion, and you're still gonna be relevant. You're still gonna be a good fighter. Because it's normal to take L's.
And again,
I had this conversation many times about did Floyd Mayweather ruin the sport of boxing with the O, with him holding onto his O? 100%. I don't think he did. I think every fighter should aspire to hold on to their O.
Obviously.
But, you know what I mean? Floyd still fought everyone.
Yeah.
Whether you want to debate me or not about when he fought fighters, when he did it, did he cherry pick the timings? Look at his resume. His resume speaks volumes. He fought everybody, multi-division champions, numerous times, back to back to back to back. He was just too good for them. It's not his fault. You know, he was too good for them.
It's not the and oh part. It's the fact that...
But no, everyone wants to be Floyd, but they're not Floyd.
Yeah.
Don't try to be Floyd. You can never be Floyd. No one will ever be Floyd. It's never going to happen again. That's that one in a million fighter. Do you know what I'm saying?
One every 100, 200.
You get one every 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years.
Oh, man.
Maybe one every Tuesday.
It's mad. So my point is this, yeah? And I think this is a little bit more of a detailed thing. And I did mention it in the moment as well yesterday. Oh, watching the fight, sorry, at the night. AJ's fight or flight, when that kicks in, he shows himself to have the ability. He needed some pressure. He needed to say, okay, right, I can take this guy's punches. Even though he got staggered and he got rocked a little bit. He needed to taste his power and to get back in there in the slugfest and, you know, just throwing and getting hit and hitting and getting hit. He needed to be in there just to say, actually, yeah, I could take this. This is what I'm here for. And he didn't back up. He didn't back down. He didn't, you know, shy away from trading. And there was points where actually he did really, really well. Now, if he'd done that from round three or four onwards, he'd have definitely got him out of there. Definitely.
This is where I agree with you. And I think he's like that. He's a scrapper at heart. He's a dog.
He is a scrapper at heart.
We've seen it in the fights where he's looked spectacular or he's had a few issues. Regardless of it, when he starts throwing combinations and he starts scrapping with you, the textbook stuff goes out the window. You're not overthinking everything. It's like, you know what?
Just keep throwing.
Let's go out there.
Something's bound to knock him out.
Dillian White scrapped it out.
Yeah.
Klitschko.
Yes.
He got hurt. Got knocked down, got back up, scrapping. Bam, bam, bam.
Smashed it.
Got him out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even in the Andy Ruiz fight, the first fight with Andy Ruiz, up until the knockdown and when he got finished, he was dominating the fight and he was beating him up, in my opinion. Yeah, Andy Ruiz threw a few combinations here and there, but up until the knockdown, where he scrambled his brains and he didn't recover, even in those exchanges when AJ landed that left hook and he went down, Ruiz went down.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah, I remember.
That's when he's throwing them. Yeah. He's in that fight or flight mode. I'm not saying he was hurt at that point, but he's in that zone where he's I'm not overthinking it right now.
Yeah.
I'm letting my hands go. And
that's exactly
they're landing clean. That left hook that went down, boom.
It's his instincts. It's instinctive. It was there.
And even when he was hurt in that fight
against
Ruiz, like you said, it was never flight. It was straight back in.
That's
what was his detriment in that fight. Yeah, he probably should have held on a bit longer. Probably should have tried to recuperate and get his brain back into it. But, you know, again, he was catching Ruiz. You know, on another night, if he fought someone else who's not as solid and has got that chin, he might have slept him in that moment.
Yeah.
and won the fight, and no one would even have remembered that anything happened.
Mad.
You know what I'm saying? But he struggles against that type of fight, and this is the point I wanted to get to, is these boxing experts who said that Jermaine's going to be blasted out of there, you've seen the type of fighter that AJ has struggled with predominantly throughout his career. The two losses he's had, sorry, the three losses, but the two types of fighters he's fought, shorter, stockier, faster than him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the simple way to break it down. There's other depth. We can go into depth. One's a southpaw, one's not. Mm-hmm. One throws more combination punching, one's a counter puncher, but they're both quicker than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might not be in feet, in their footwork. Their feet might not be as quick.
Yeah.
But like Usyk's probably could be Ruiz, not really, but you know Ruiz does move very well for a heavyweight of his size.
Ruiz, you blink and he's thrown three punches and he's come in inside you somehow all of a sudden. You get it? It's mad. He's gotten inside you and thrown three punches in a short time, but like you said, his feet don't reflect that.
And this is why I think if you understand Jermaine Franklin's type of fighting and his ability, is Jermaine wants to catch you in the scrap, in the fire. Jermaine's not trying to catch you from the outside and trying to outbox you and ping your head off. He wants to scrap in there with you. And same like Ruiz does, Andy Ruiz did it in the first fight especially, is what's the best time to catch someone like AJ? It's in the middle of throwing. Mm-hmm. When he's in the middle 100%. Of throwing his combos, when he can't get out, that's when you catch them. A prime example is Amir Khan. I used to watch Amir Khan all the time. Paulie Malignaggi used to say it. The best way to catch Khan and beat him up every time he's been knocked out is when he's throwing his combos.
Yeah.
You can't, when he's out there, you can't get him. You can't get him. When he's going, he's left himself open. Mm-hmm. You have to, like Danny Garcia, he said it perfectly about the Danny Garcia fight. Danny Garcia caught Khan in the middle of a combination because Khan had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't. By the time he's throwing his fourth, it's too late. His hands are down. Danny's gone. 1-2, boom. You have to be willing to be in the pocket with them to catch them. And that's what Ruiz did.
Yeah.
Usyk did it at times. Usyk's very good at it, but Usyk can also put on a masterclass and outbox you.
Like, you can't take anything away from AJ for losing to Usyk.
Pound for pound, number one. Pound for pound, one of the greats of all time.
He is a better boxer. If AJ can develop and reach, you know, get to a third fight and then beat him, all right, boom. But you have to come with a different approach. You have to just pound him. Do you get me?
Mm.
It's if he gets there, perfect. But as a boxer, he's better.
Mm-hmm.
And will always be better.
Mm-hmm.
Usyk will always be better. But he'll be better than, like you said, pound for pound. So 99% of the fighters. Ever. Do you get me?
100%. I reckon, this is what is crazy. If we look at this current crop of heavyweights, I think Usyk probably beats everyone twice. Maybe, except the only ones I don't think he could beat are Fury.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Wilder will give him problems, but only because Wilder hits so hard.
Yeah.
If Wilder didn't hit as hard as he does, I think Usyk wipes the floor with him. I just think the only way that Wilder wins is if he lands that.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Fury.
I don't think AJ has that Wilder punch. That's why I think it can hurt him. But I think with Usyk, is you need to, he can't get up.
And actually, with
Wilder, because if he gets up, he's going to win.
Wilder, when he, even though he's wild, and when he throws punches at Wilder, he continues throwing even when he's getting licked, and that's what AJ hasn't been doing.
Wilder's never been gun shy.
Yeah, yeah.
Even after being beaten up or knocked out or stopped,
yeah,
he's still not gun shy because he knows once he lands, it's like when you know you've got a bazooka, bro.
Yeah,
you know you've got something.
You just got to take it to. Like, to
for example, let me give you a weird analogy, but we're going to war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're at war. You can throw all you want. I've got nuclear power.
This guy,
it's
yeah.
done. I it's just true, nuke, it's you're true, finished.
It's true.
You're done. The whole world is finished. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. Bang, it's nuts, bam, it's bam, bam, bam. Because I know
you can throw these punches and they will hurt me, don't damage me. But yeah. I know that I need to just keep trying to land this one thing. And all it takes is for me to land that and potentially.
And we've seen it with Wilder. I've canceled everything else. Everyone he's fought except Fury, he's landed it.
Yeah,
he's landed.
He landed it on with Fury. Just,
but as in, like, he's destroyed them.
Yeah,
the only difference
with Fury is I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how he gets up.
I don't know how he got up, man. I don't know how he got up. Yeah,
with AJ, listen, he's gonna get criticized for this performance, and he should do.
He would get criticized for any performance.
100%, 100%, exactly. If
it was first round knockout. Oh, he fought some bum, and he's not a bum. He's not a bum.
No, he's not. He's not. AJ did what he had to do, and we have to understand it. You have to look at everything with context. You have to look at the situation. All right? New trainer. two back-to-back losses. Demons. It's a real thing, bro. He's 6 foot six, big Adonis muscle man. Bro, your mental state just is fragile.
Getting called.
It doesn't matter.
Bodybuilder. Like, he's thinking, so what? Am I just all muscle? Is that all I am?
Like, it's,
like, I can't hurt people.
People can be affected by it. Do you know what I'm saying? You can be the most famous man on the planet. All the money in the world. But sometimes when you're in there, you're all alone, man. Them demons are real. And it takes a few rounds. Maybe it takes, because Mouse was getting frustrated. Remember, we said it earlier. You were getting frustrated. You're like, come on, AJ. Come on. I'm like, give him some time. He's coming. He's coming out of the show. He's coming out. Eventually, we got to 9, 10, and that's when he started to throw a few more. But even then, it was a bit late. But regardless, it can take one or two fights. We've seen it in sport, in history. Some guys take 3, 4, 5 tune-up fights before they really get back into it. But again, when you're at that level and you're that famous and you're the man, you can't. You take one and then you're back in straight away. And that's what's going to happen.
I think the 12 rounds, it's bomb that he went 12 rounds. It's very good.
It's very good for him.
He proved that he can survive those 12 rounds and then some. But he paced himself. The trade-off was fewer punches, less likely to dish out that. Far fewer punches, to be fair. But he needed those rounds. He needed a bit more. He needed that confidence. I don't think he should take the Tyson fight next. But if he doesn't, he's not going to have a chance to really. You know, he takes it. If it's presented and they can make it happen, they're just going to have to make it happen. He will lose, man. He will lose. But he's got the bag. So.
I mean, there's not much left for him to accomplish in the sport. Yeah, Undisputed is amazing, but whilst Fury's got that belt, I don't think anyone's beating Fury.
It's not even about anyone's beating Fury. I don't think anyone's fighting Fury. He just keeps, like, not getting fights. Do you get it?
Yeah.
It's stupid. Like, that's a whole other episode. That's a whole other topic. But the guy's being a fool. He's being a big baby.
Yeah.
He's being a big baby, man.
But he's being a Jarrell Miller. He's being a real Jarrell Miller. But back to AJ, man. Quickly. Yeah, with this whole sort of criticism he's going to get, cool, understandable. We wanted to see knockouts and stuff. But, But, you know, sometimes you got to put yourself first and what matters first. You know what I'm saying?
10%.
You know, because if, I'm just saying, if he did start to go out there and just start throwing hell for leather and just started to, you know, show his old AJ, which everyone's saying, yeah? Mm. And he got knocked out or stopped. Done. Crazy. Finished. Then no one's going to remember you ever again. Yeah. You live to fight another day. You know what I mean? You got 12 rounds with a new trainer. You got to understand him better.
Your trainer got to understand you better. Exactly.
I think it's perfect. Like I said, way earlier on, in hindsight, I think it's a better thing for him in the long run. Mm-hmm. You know, he got to feel it out. He got to be in there with someone. And this is why I think it's the benefit. AJ got to be in the ring with someone of a similar style to who he struggled with numerous times.
Yeah.
And the fact that he went 12 rounds without getting tired, without really getting hurt, without really getting caught in the fire, makes it a huge benefit and a huge plus for him going forward, because now he understands, you know what? Maybe I'm not invincible, but I can still be there with these guys.
Shorter, faster, stronger,
tougher guys that, you know, on another day, could destroy someone else, could outbox someone, could make it. But I'm here and I'm showing that I can compete. I am better than these guys. You know, it builds confidence and it gets rid of those demons, and I think it's very important.
What happens next, man? Summer?
I think he fights Dillian White next. I think he gets the Dillian White fight.
I think that makes sense. And that's more likely to happen.
There's no one else for him to fight. Listen, realistically, there's no one else for him to fight, because I'm talking in fairy tale situation, you know, for Eddie's sake, yeah? For Matchroom's sake, for DAZN's sake. They want to build him up as much as they can before they get that Tyson Fury fight.
Yeah.
So they're not going to put him in against Joe Joyce. They're not going to put him in against Deontay Wilder. That's a bad idea, yeah. The only one he's really going to get is Dillian White.
No, I think definitely.
So you give him Dillian White next.
Dillian White, if it's not Fury, it's more likely to be Dillian White.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If Fury presents itself, they're just going to have to jump on it.
Yeah.
And I get it. And he'll lose. And he'll probably say, you know what? I'll take the Dillian White fight anyway. Because if they do the Dillian White fight and he loses, he probably won't get the fight, Fury fight. So it makes sense to take that Tyson Fury fight while he can, if that's actually presenting itself.
It won't though. It won't be.
I don't think it will. I don't think
what
it will.
I think is going to happen is, I think this is what my, you know, when I always play these scenarios and situations in my head, I think Fury and Usyk will eventually get it on later on in the year in the Middle East. I don't know when, but I think they will. There's too much money and it's just too much prestige. It's just, there's too much history on the line for it not to happen. It will happen. I think AJ will fight Dillian White later on in the year. And then in the, you know, the fairy tale situation, it's Fury beats Usyk, has all the belts. AJ fights Dillian, stops him in dramatic fashion, brings back the old AJ.
Yes.
And we all wanted to see Mojo's back. And we get AJ Fury next year in Wembley.
Mad.
That's what I think will happen.
I feel like this has been said last year and the year before.
Heavyweight boxing is different. One punch changes everything. Yeah, you know, and you can't count one guy out to this date.
To this date.
You know, he's still in there with a puncher's chance, you know. You never know. He might even get in there against AJ or something and just wipe the
floor. That's a bit mad as well.
Bro. Let's see, man. But yeah, AJ, keep your head up, man.
Congratulations to AJ. You got the W. People are going to talk regardless.
Yeah.
So just have to just ignore the noise, man. Go back to Texas. Crack on. It's too, you don't yet deserve a break. This is the thing. It's not like you can take, you know, 2 weeks off, go on holiday, get straight back into it, man. Do you know what I mean? Because you've got two back-to-back losses that you really need to work on. You've got chinks in your armor that you need to reinforce. And the only way you're going to do that is to get back into camp or get back to the gym and start working on them. You've had 12 rounds with your new coach. He can tell you where to improve. Mm-hmm. Improve, man. And take the break later.
Nah, I think he said it himself. He can't wait to get back to Texas. He knows what needs to be done. And I think he's got the perfect trainer in there who's got experience, who's been in there with elite fighters, who's been in the biggest fights, you know. So it's not new to Derek James. It's not at all. He knows what it's like to be in there with big fighters, championship level constantly, you know, with the Charlos, with Errol Spence. So, you know, this isn't something that is going to affect him. And I think being in Texas, being away from the fame, the fortune, the glamour of being at home and being the man, you know, grinding away is good, especially when you're around elite fighters, you know?
Yeah.
You know, 100%. when you're in a gym with elite fighters, bro, it just breeds a different kind
of confidence. That's what I'm saying, but that's what it is. Exactly. So, iron sharp as iron, bro.
100%.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And he will be of the lower end of this, you know, of ability of the fighters there.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So that's crazy because he's just been picking
up. He's a global superstar in the UK, goes over to Texas, and in that gym, he's, you know what I mean? He probably gets treated very well, don't get me wrong, because he's heavyweight,
there's respect,
superstar.
Of course, there's respect.
But, you know, you got to remember, like, you know, Errol Spence and Charlo and these, man, these are big guys in America. And when it comes to ability, they've proven it numerous occasions against some of the toughest fighters. I'm not saying AJ hasn't, but I get what you're saying. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad. You know, again, it's
you go from being top dog in one gym,
but that's fine
for your whole life.
That's when you realize.
But exactly,
that's like the realization. And
that's why
moment.
I think it's a
that's
benefit,
why he's enjoying
man.
It there,
it's
you know
a benefit.
He's
yeah.
There. He's like almost. I'm not going to say he's a fanboy, but he's like back to being a student again. Not just I'm the man, and you know, yeah, we're going to train hard. He's always trained hard. It's now I'm the man. I've got lots of learning to do. I need to be the man.
Imagine
again.
Though, he's got to this point in his career at that level. Imagine if he flicks another switch in there and there's another gear.
Another gear. That's mad, isn't it?
Because there is ability. He's got all the attributes. So let's see, man. I think it's good for him. AJ, listen, if you're listening out there,
you are listening.
You're definitely listening. You're definitely subscribed. You've definitely liked and commented like everyone else should. Wait, but have they?
They better have.
I think you should tell them.
The button's there somewhere. So. Just it's down there, but
yeah.
Subscribe, comment, and like. That's to you, AJ. And also to everybody else, do that. Once again, though, pat on the back, AJ. Back to the drawing board, back to the flipping gym, and just keep pushing onwards and upwards because it was good to see you back in there. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, you've been a flag bearer for a very long time. When heavyweight boxing was dying, when British boxing was dying, you were the man to hold it out, selling stadium after stadium after stadium. I think a lot of people are quick to forget what you've done for the sport and how quickly you did it and how inexperienced you were. So listen, kudos to you. You have been the man for a very long time. You know, don't let anyone bring you down. Carry on what you're doing. And, you know, if you do get that Tyson Fury fight, good luck. And if not, you know, we, as British boxing fans, we can't wait to see what's next.
100%. 110%. Guys, this has been the Sweet Science Podcast. This is episode 63. I've been your boy, Fat Mouse. Who else we had in here?
I've been Cash with the K. I'm not suit.
Don't forget to obey my instructions at all times and protect yourselves at all times. Subscribe.
Hi, guys. It's Cash with a K. Not C. Oh, from the Sweet Science Podcast. I'm moving around on the chair. I just wanted to say thank you for watching the video. If you liked, make sure to comment, like, subscribe. This is the channel. He's the man. We've been the Sweet Science Podcast.
Ha ha ha!